Philippians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 12 to 14. What will happen is we're going to have a short message, and then we'll respond to the message in confession and singing a couple of songs together. But I hope these verses are an encouragement to us as we just look back and we look ahead as well to the new year. So Philippians 3, 12 to 14. I'll read them to us. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look at your word just briefly this morning. Help us have ears and hearts that are receptive to your words. Fill us with your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, comes the end of 2021. We made it. We made it, and I just want to ask you a question. As you think about last year, and as you're thinking about this year, as you look about your year, and you're looking forward to this year, what have you longed for more than anything else, or what are you longing for more than anything else? So, what have you longed for more than anything else since last year, and what are you longing for more than anything else in the year to come? So maybe as you've gone throughout the months of this past year, you're just waiting for the restrictions to end. It's been a tough year with all these restrictions. You just can't wait for it all to be done with. And we head up back to some normality this year. Or maybe your greatest longing from last year into this year is that your mental health will be better. It's been really difficult this year with your mental health, and you hope that next year things will be a bit better. Maybe you're just sick of your job. You hate your job and you just wish you could have a new job in the year to come. Maybe you're single and you just long to get married. Maybe your car's a bit banged up and you want to get a new car that's a bit better. The engine works and the wheels don't keep going down. Maybe it's to see family because you've been so long apart from them and you just wish you could see your wider family the year to come. Maybe go on a big holiday, get out of Scotland, get out of the cold weather, get somewhere hot, get somewhere sunny. We've all got longings, don't we? We all have desires. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are in between. Now, if you ask Paul that same question, I wonder what you think his answer would be. What would Paul's longing be? What did he long for more than anything else? Well, if you look back at verses 8 to 10, it tells us exactly what his longing was all about. Let me read them. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul's passion, I'm sure he had other passions, but his main passion, his central passion, his main priority always was to know Jesus Christ better and better and better. Do you see that in these verses? He considers everything rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wants to know the power of his resurrection and even share in his sufferings. If you go back to Philippians 1:21, that famous verse, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That was his main focus. If I live, it's going to be for Christ. If I die, doesn't matter. I'm going to be with Christ anyway. And that thought basically continues throughout the book of Philippians, but particularly into verses 12 to 14. had a passionate desire and a deep longing to know Jesus Christ more and more. And that's the language he uses in verses 12 to 14, if you notice. It's the language of an athlete, or it's the language of someone in the army. Verse 12, he presses on. Verse 13, he strives on. And so he likens the Christian walk and the longing for Christ like a battle or like a race. He's in a battle, Paul was, and he wants to throw off anything that easily entangles him so he can battle as hard as he can. In other words, Paul was never messing around, was he? He was a serious guy about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question I just want to ask us is, how can we have that longing as we go into the next year? How can we have that same yearning? How can we keep pressing on for Jesus Christ? Because it's hard, isn't it, keeping that longing for him or battling on for Jesus Christ? Because we get to that point, don't we, in the Christian walk where we just want to plateau and we just want to get comfortable and not have to keep pressing on, climbing up the mountain. So how can we do that? Just four, and I mean four brief things, okay? Four brief things this morning, okay? The first thing, or the first reason Paul can keep longing after Jesus year after year after year while he's alive was because he knew he hadn't arrived yet. He knew he hadn't arrived yet. Look at verse 12. Not that I have obtained this, already obtained this, or am already perfect. He knows he isn't perfect yet. Paul knows there's plenty of room for growth in his spiritual life. And the key to Paul's Christian walk is a small word, but an important word, humility. Humility. The person who thinks they've made it is close to a fool. It's like a young, cocky sports star. You know, they make their way up as a teenager, they get to the top of their profession, maybe a boxer or whoever else, and they think they can take on the world. They think they're the best. And then what happens? They get into the ring as a boxer, they come off against someone a bit more experienced, and suddenly they're on the floor and they're on their backside. They thought they were the best, they didn't train as hard, and someone else has come and taken them out of the game who's a bit more humble. Trained that little bit harder because they knew they had room for growth. Pride and arrogance are not a sign of maturity, they're actually a sign of immaturity, aren't they, in the Christian walk. And the truth is, those who are closest to God, those who are walking closest to Jesus Christ, are the ones who know how far short they fall of the glory of God. In the Christian life, the more we know Christ, the more we see that we need to grow. The more we see there's areas that we need to work on, or that the Lord needs to work on. And you see that in Paul's life. He knew he was the chief of sinners. He knew that sin resided in his life. He knew there was a battle going on all the time. And yet, he wanted to know the infiniteness of Christ day by day. And so as you go into this year, you need to have a humble dissatisfaction with your spiritual state, and that will open up a way for more godliness. Remember what Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Keep hungering, keep thirsting, keep walking with Christ. Okay, secondly, he knows he belongs to Jesus Christ. See that in verse 12, not that I've already obtained this or made already perfect. I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Jesus Christ has made Paul his child. He knows he belongs to Jesus Christ. Paul knew he'd been adopted into God's family through Christ and the power of the Spirit, and he was Christ's forevermore. And these are amazing words if you just take a minute just to think about them, because the language is very intimate here. It reminds us of the Song of Songs, where one lover says to the other, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. So imagine if you want a husband or a wife holding their partner and saying, I love you, I'll always be there for you, I want nobody else, you are mine, I am yours. Well, that's exactly the same language that we get here in the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament. It's about a relationship with Christ, an intimate relationship with Christ. It's an image that we see all throughout the Bible, and it's one we often maybe put to the side because it's a little bit embarrassing, isn't it? What, Jesus is my lover?
Well, he is.
Jesus is the lover of our souls, the Bible says. And that helps us to want to keep yearning after him. When you know someone loves you so deeply and so intimately, you want to get to know them better, don't you? It's like if there's someone in the church that you struggle with, or someone in life that you struggle with. Maybe they're a little bit annoying. Maybe they're a bit different to you. You don't have time for them. However, your heart warms them, doesn't it, when they're kind to you. So if that person remembers your birthday and buys you a present, if that person encourages you, if that person just goes out their way to be kind towards you, your love and your affection grows towards them, doesn't it? Before, you couldn't be bothered with them, but you see their love for you and it makes you want to grow in love for them. And that's the same with our relationship with Christ. Sometimes we're a little bit flaky in our love of Christ, aren't we? But when we remember his love for us, and he's the lover of our souls, it warms our hearts towards him and we want to long after him. We think, okay, I've lost everything, but I've got Christ. Things are difficult, but Jesus loves me. And so the more you know that you are his and that you're secure in your relationship with him, the more you'll long after him. And that's what Paul was like. I want to know nothing but Christ, because he knew the love that Christ had for him. Thirdly, he keeps yearning after Christ because he forgets what lies behind him. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. One of the greatest reasons we stop striving in the Christian walk is because we're focused on the past. One of the greatest reasons we stop striving in the Christian walk is because we're focused on the past. Maybe it's past achievements. You know, I've done this and that for Christ. Or maybe it's past hurts that we've had against us. This has been done to me. Or maybe it's past sins that we've committed. We look back, and that holds us back from pressing on towards the goal of Christ Jesus. And the thing is, Paul could have looked back at his past achievements, couldn't he? And thought, you know, I've done enough for Christ. That's it. He could have looked back and thought, you know what? I've planted all these churches. I've led hundreds to Christ. I've written pretty much half the New Testament, although he didn't know that at the time. I've done it all for Christ. Surely I can just rest up now and just relax for the last 5 years of my life. But that wasn't his mindset, was it? Paul kept pressing on for the goal of Christ Jesus. He didn't focus on the past. He kept moving on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you keep looking back over your shoulder at things of the past, you're not going to push forward. You keep looking back at the good times in the past, maybe, or whatever it is, you're not going to press forward for the goal of Christ Jesus. And slowly but surely, your spirit will harden towards the Lord's. Apparently, in 1954, there was a great race between two men in the one-mile dash. There was a guy called John Landy, another guy called Roger Bannister, and there was nothing to split them in the races up to the big race, the gold medal race. One had one style, and the other had another style. Basically, one liked to run ahead and set the pace, and then no one else could catch them up. And the other guy liked to be a bit slower, but sprint at the end. Anyway, the guy who liked to run ahead, Landy, was on the last 200-meter stretch. And he couldn't hear the other guy's footsteps. He's getting to 150 meters, 125. Where's this guy? Is he coming up behind me? He looked behind him for 2 seconds, and the guy just took him over. And he lost the race. And the same in the Christian life. You keep your head turned that way at the past and what's happened, you're not going to keep pressing forward for the goal of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I forget what lies behind, I'm going to press on. And that's what we need to do in the Christian life. Forget this year, don't forget God's faithfulness to you, but do it in a way where God's faithfulness pushes you to keep being faithful to him and trusting in him for the year ahead. And finally, Paul kept pressing on because he knew the prize to come. Look at verse 14. I press on towards the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul always had his eyes on the finishing line, didn't he? Always had his eyes on the finishing line and the prize particularly. And the prize for him was seeing Jesus Christ. The goal for Paul was seeing Jesus Christ face to face in heaven. And that's what all good racers do, don't they? They always focus on the prize. That's what they train themselves for. That's what they battle for. That's why they get up early in the morning and have a good diet and all that kind of thing, because they've got a goal in mind. And the same for the Christian. We all have a goal in mind, and that is the finish line. Dying, being faithful to Jesus, so he can say, well done, you've been my good and faithful servant. And we get to see him face to face and have the prize of heaven. All the pain, all the blood, all the sweat, all the tears, whatever goes on in our lives, it's all worth it, isn't it? If we get to see Jesus at the end. But we need to constantly remind ourselves of that final destination, don't we? Constantly remind ourselves of what the prize is. We are pilgrims passing through. The best is yet to come. And when you remember that, it will help you this year. Whatever pains, whatever toils, whatever snares, whatever trip-ups, whatever struggles, whatever battles are going on, to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Sometimes you'll sprint this year, sometimes you'll crawl, sometimes you'll walk, sometimes you'll be on your knees. Sometimes Jesus can be dragging you on your back. But a step at a time, we'll make it with the help of the Holy Spirit, keeping our eyes focused on the prize to come. Let me end with a story, and then we'll sing a couple of songs together. Eric Liddell, we all heard of Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was a famous athlete in the 1900s, and he was known as the Flying Scotsman. And he was a man who pursued Christ with all his being. In 1924, at the Olympic Games, he decided not to take part in the 100-meter dash, which was his best event, because it took place on a Sunday. And he decided to take place in the 200-meter and the 400-meters, where he wasn't the best, but he wanted to rest on a Sunday and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So he ran the 200s, he ran the 400s, he got bronze in one, and he got gold in the other. Finished the Olympics. I don't know if he did this before or afterwards, but in his life, as well as this, he did 2 degrees, one in science, one in divinity. Okay, so he's got 2 degrees, he's an Olympic gold medal holder and bronze medal holder. I'm sure he could go into another Olympics, maybe world championships. What did this man who's intelligent, renowned athlete decide to do? Settle for normal life? Put his feet up, which he could have done in Scotland, and relax? Now in 1925, after he won all those medals, he set sail to be a missionary in China. Not only that, in 1941, with the growing threat of a Japanese invasion, he sent his wife and kids back home, and he decided to stay behind in China and serve the poor. Kept running hard after Christ. Olympics, degree, out to China, kept running after Christ. 1943, got put in a concentration camp, where again he served those around him, and he died in 1945 at the age of 43. Brain tumor, malnourishment, caused by overwork. Liddell's grave, bear in mind, the Olympic gold medal holder, 2 degrees, served the poor in China. Simple cross, a simple cross on his grave with his name written in boot polish. That's it. Man who had the world at his feet decided, I'm going to run after Christ. No epitaph, no funeral, nothing big for him. But you could have summed up his life, he died running. He died running. I hope that's the same that could be said of us as well. To get to the end of our lives, people say, that man, that woman, died running after Christ. Forgot what lays behind. They focus on the prize of Christ Jesus. They knew that they were Christ's. And he was theirs. And they yearned and longed after him. And they died saying, good and faithful servants. Whatever's happened this year, the last few years, praise God for his faithfulness. As we enter into the new year, let us say with Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain, I've not obtained this, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Amen.